In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good, Master of life, come, dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Spirit. Amen. We're going to be considering the Feast of Corpus Christi, which is such a great honor. And it does bring us back to some very fundamental understanding of the love and the generosity of God, as I hope to reflect on a bit here. The theme of the liturgy, in a way, is fed by wisdom. It's certainly, the gospel is Luke. The ABC cycles are Matthew, Mark, Luke. The notion of fed by wisdom, while it's present there, is developed mostly by John 6. Jesus, the wisdom of God, feeds us on his very flesh and blood. So we feed on wisdom. And that's why we're promised eternal life. I want to, in this first section, talk a bit about a theme that has been made very prominent and very beautifully done. The theme is, the Eucharist makes the Church. It's a notion that is based on a phrase of Augustine that is interpreted and commented upon frequently by Henri de Lubac, and also in another way by John Zizioulas, who's a Greek Orthodox theologian. I'm going to be basing this first section on this book by Paul McPartland called The Eucharist Makes the Church. I really would urge everyone who can to read this book. It opens up for us such an understanding of the Eucharist, which we usually don't have. It begins by that phrase, our author begins, and then the discussion. In commentary on this notion, which you find now in the Confessions, chapter 7, paragraph 10, the Lord says to Augustine, nor do you change me into yourself, as you do with the food of your flesh. But with this Eucharist, you are changed into me. But the me is the whole body of Christ. And so the Eucharist makes the Church, but the Church makes the Eucharist. And this theme, beautifully developed in this book by Father McPartland, so fundamental to open up for us and try to restore to us an awareness of the Eucharist as that which makes the Church. And so I want to discuss that a bit. I think I'll begin by reading this long quote from St. Augustine. I could look at the others too. Augustine says briefly in another place, I hold out the host to you, and I say, Corpus Christi, the body of Christ, and you say, Amen. Now before you receive this body of Christ, look around at the body of Christ and see if there's anyone there you're omitting. Because if you're omitting somebody, you're not saying Amen to the body of Christ. It's that simple. In another place, Augustine has this phrase. The body of Christ, you are told, and you answer, Amen. Be members, then, of the body of Christ, that your Amen may be true. Why is this mystery accomplished with bread? We shall say nothing of our own about it. Rather, let us hear the Apostle, who, speaking of this sacrament, says, We, being many, are one body, one bread. We are one body. We are also one bread. Now, Augustine, understand and rejoice. Unity, devotion, charity, one bread. And what is this one bread? One body, made up of many, many. Consider that the bread is not made of one grain alone, but of many. During the time of exorcism, you were, so to say, in the mill, being ground. At baptism, you were wetted with water. Then the Holy Spirit came into you like the fire which bakes the dough. Be then what you see and receive what you are. You are the body of Christ. And it's the body of Christ that makes the body of Christ in both senses. The church makes the Eucharist, and the Eucharist makes the church. And that's this rhythm. In other words, the Eucharist transposes us into a completely different world. And we've had a nice liturgical renewal, and we've renewed the ceremonies. But I'm not sure we've renewed our faith. Do I know that I am the body of Christ? And I am the body of Christ because I receive the body of Christ. You see, this is very important. As in that other quote from the Confessions, where the Lord says to Augustine, you know, it's not a question of transforming me into yourself like with other food. It's rather that when you receive me, I transform you into myself. Now, I think it's very important to preach this, to let people realize that at this liturgy, when we are consecrating, when we are receiving, we are in a heavenly place. And what we're doing is heavenly. And who we receive is the body of Christ, who makes us the body of Christ. And that's why this famous phrase, the church makes the Eucharist, yes. But the Eucharist makes the church. The church is the body of Christ because it receives the body of Christ. And receiving the body of Christ, it is transformed into the body of Christ. And that is the mystery of this whole feast. Now, the readings that we have are Genesis and the Gospel of Luke, the multiplication of the loaves. I'm going to try to explain why. But first, I think it's important for us, and then to help the people understand. You are the body of Christ. You're here to celebrate your reality by receiving Christ, who makes the church. Just as the church, in a much lesser way, see, makes the Eucharist. But it's the Eucharist that makes the church. And for all eternity, we will be bound by the body of Christ. We are all the body of Christ. You remember when Paul met the Lord on the road, and he said, Who are you, Lord? And what did Jesus answer? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. I never touched you, Jesus. Yes, you did. Every time you imprisoned one of my followers, every time you had them killed, like Stephen, and you consented to it, you were consenting to my death. Because I am the Christ, the whole Christ. And there are other texts, too, that you could look at to see the same thing. Other interesting text from another point of view is in John, first letter, 3:16, more or less, where it says, you see, give to the poor. Give. When you do that, you are giving to Christ. To Christ. Not in a metaphorical way. Not in a way, well, he'll remember that and thank you one day, which he also will do, but because that's Christ. That's Christ. And why? Because the Eucharist makes the church. The church is the Eucharist. And the Eucharist is the church. Now, how long will it take to restore this understanding to the church? Oh, I don't know. We were blessed with a liturgical reform at Vatican II, which has moved us forward a great deal. Oh, you can complain about the translation and the lousy music, and some of it is quite lousy. But we have taken steps forward to try now to enter into this mystery. This mystery. You see, that the church makes the Eucharist, but the Eucharist makes the church, because we too are the body of Christ. So that is the theme underlying the choice of these readings. They will be more prefiguring and discussing the bread and the wine, like the first one, which is Melchizedek. But let's not forget what we're discussing. We are discussing the fact that the whole world is called to become Christ. The whole world is called to be baptized into Christ, and then to receive Christ and make Christ. That's the destiny of the world. And we anticipate that destiny every time we celebrate the Eucharist. It is such a mercy. The problem is trying to stay alert. You know, we get so distracted, we don't. Now, the church has done some delicate things in both liturgies. You know, in the Eastern liturgy, we say, proskomen, pay attention, which is better. In the West, we're too polite. We say, the Lord be with you. Oh, yes, I'm with you. To try to get us back to reality. You don't read the gospel without saying, the Lord be with you, right? You don't start the preface without saying, the Lord be with you. To get us back so that the Holy Spirit can find a resting place in our spirit and enliven us so that we make the church, you see, in the Eucharist. And the Eucharist, therefore, makes us church. This is such a profound and liberating mystery. I wish we had a lot of time, and maybe we will one day, to go through this. But in the meanwhile, for those of you who have time, and even if you don't have time, get a hold of this book, The Eucharist Makes the Church, especially the priests, and read it. It's heavy going here and there. You're dealing with two of the best and most profound theologians of the 20th century, de Lubac and Zizulas. The second is Orthodox. And I wonder, he has another book called Being as is Communion, or Being as Communion, a beautiful book. I wanted to discuss this before we move on, so that we set the stage to try to understand the readings the church gives us. Amen.